There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over a million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy Bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Just two more sleeps, and then it's back for real, real. Braves, opening day Thursday here on your home of the Braves. That's us, the Fan, on FM at 93.7, AM again at 680, and of course, on that 680 The Fan mobile app. Download that app, have it ready, so you can tap on Thursday to be listening during what's supposed to be your work day. Before we talk about what happened today with the Braves and what we look forward to later in the week, before we update you on league meetings and the goings-on with the Falcons, before we talk about a massive Hawks comeback and Shohei Ohtani, we must get our top story. I'll ask the audience, are you all sitting down? Because you're going to need to be. Doctors claim that men should be having sex 21 times a month to prevent prostate cancer. That's our top story. As a follow-up, I need to go get checked ASAP then. I am a prime candidate 21 times a month.
Oh, details on that connection to it, or
on my amount of times, or the 21 that they project?
Or the benefit of 21 to prostate health?
It's a very good question. The activity maybe keeps things flowing and going. I don't know, Chuck. I'm not a doctor. But
okay, so what if you like print the study, hand it to your wife, and
honey, here's
like,
a doctor's note.
Yeah, here's last month's hustler.
Now, last month, honey, we did it four times, which means I'm at high risk of prostate cancer. So we've got to make up for those 21 times. It's 17. So we've got to do it 38 times in the next. It's March 26th in the next 5 days.
I don't think she's going to buy it.
I think you can't hurt.
Because, honey, except for those five times.
All I know is shooter's got to shoot. And if you don't shoot your shot with this one, this is a true, this is a doctor's study. This isn't like some dumb thing where the husband's like, honey, it's been 2 days or 3 weeks. Doctor says we have to have sex.
I want to be here for the kids, honey.
That's exactly right. Do you want me to die? And then she looks at you and she's like, got the life insurance paid up. So maybe. I don't know. I don't want to get inside your business. So let me get to the Braves, who will open up Thursday with Spencer Strider on the bump against Zach Wheeler again, 3:05 first pitch, weather permitting. Now, let's be clear. There will be an on-time departure. I checked again three different weather services today that say the rain moves out of Philly late morning. I bring that up because one of our bosses, we have a lot of them. A lot of cooks in the old kitchen here at Dickey Broadcasting. Matt Edgar sends us out a very depressing email. Hey, Matt and Chuck, I know you want to enjoy opening day just like everybody else, but your day off might be ruined if the weather steps in.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that. Boo management. Good way to start the day.
He just said, be on alert. All right, let me be clear. Number one, this will be an on-time departure. We're going to be fine. They will keep that thing till 7 p.m. with rain delays. And I don't know it's in our contract that we're on during rain delays. Okay, so that's step one. Step two, my phone will be off Thursday. So if management is trying to reach me, I will be out of pocket.
Three words. Braves Network Programming.
Well, I think it's the rain delay show. Three more words. Braves rain delay.
Do you know
rain delay show?
How many different ways a batter can reach first base? Do you know?
I don't, but if you listen to the rain delay show, you can.
See?
You find
there's
out.
There's value.
So I don't know what the plan is here around the hallways of Dickey Broadcasting, but this show on the back burner is not one of them. On standby. No, it's opening day and the Braves are on. This show is off. Maybe it's a special edition of the locker room afternoons during the Braves. That would be fun. Let a different audience get a chance to hear the locker room. Usually you hear him 6 to 10. Don't you want to get to know more of John Michaels, home team Brandon Leake, curmudgeon-y Brian Finneran, Joe Hamilton? They are your rain delay during Braves coverage.
And I think what's been taking Atlanta by storm, David at Night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the name of the show. I think that's how it's showing up in the diaries, David at Night.
Star 94 used to have a show called Nudge at Night. We have David at Night. It's otherwise known as 680 Rewind. So have no fear. The Braves will play Thursday, and we're fine.
David? Here's a lottery one.
But if they don't, I'm just telling management right now, you will not be able to reach me. I'm sorry. My phone, I'm having bad reception. I only have one bar. There are problems with my phone service. I'm telling you right now. Have plan B. Domino all night. Chris can take calls. He can do. There's a lot of options I think he can do. The best of the Buck Belue show. Like, there are a lot of options on the table that we can come up with.
The Buck Belue show.
Extended.
Buck and Chuck.
Buck and Chuck reunited. Or what about Mooney? Chris Mooneyham.
I'm
Mooney after dark.
Doing that stuff with those people.
Okay, I'm alerting management. That's the deal. I'm just telling you, I don't want to. I got a memo. Be on alert. I'm on alert. I'm off that day. The Braves are playing. I'm going to sit back and watch the game because there will be baseball. Brian Snitker did a sit down with the MLB Network. Covered a lot of different things from his starting pitching situation to maybe the best lineup in baseball yet again. And Snit was asked about his decision, why Spencer Strider is the man to go for him on opening day.
I just think Spencer's body of work last year, everything he accomplished, and he earned this nod this year, and we're really happy. I'm happy for him. All the everybody that I talked to, and I told the guys a while back, kind of how we were leaning and what we were going to do, and you know what? They're all in. Everybody's all in. Spencer's had a great spring. I kind of like the way we're going to shape up with our rotation.
Spencer, opening day, day off Friday, maximum freed on Saturday. Have we heard what the Sunday plan is? Forgive me. Is that a Morton or a Sale? I have not looked.
Would you want to go lefty against them?
That's a good question, right? Because you maybe neutralize Harper and Schwarber and some of those marks. So maybe that could be the way to go with Sale. And he's healthy now, so squeeze some. Ring that out.
And I wouldn't mind him pitching inside to Bryce a little bit.
How inside?
Just, inside. Just
like inside his jersey?
I was thinking, black of the plate
right.
A little bit.
But sometimes if you miss by 8 inches, stuff happens.
It's got away. It's the first start. It's the first couple times through the rotation.
It's cold outside. Yeah. Here's Snit, who was asked about the plan with Jared Kelnick. Now that Adam Duvall is there, is Jared the everyday guy or is it going to be a platoon?
When we brought him in here, Alex and I had talked that we weren't going to platoon, but we didn't have Adam Duvall. And I talked to Jared about that. And Adam, Adam's a difference maker, and it's a different scenario now. And I don't know that it won't be a bad thing for Jared and Adam to platoon. I think it'll be great for our club. And it's not like he's not going to hit against left-handers. It's, he is going to get a lot of at-bats against left-handers. But I think when you have Adam Duvall in the mix, it's a different animal.
Couple of things. Kelnick had a much better last few games, last week of spring training. He hit a home run today. The word is the swing is looking a lot better. That being said, Adam Duvall could start for a bunch of teams in baseball.
Yep.
He's not a great player at 35, but he's still very valuable. He's still productive enough. And in a injury-shortened season a year ago, he hit 21 home runs. The slugging percentage is still there. So he gets to hit against lefties. He can play all three at outfield spots if need. We know late in the game he can be a right-handed pinch hitter for a Kelnick in that situation. He can play first at a pinch. I've talked about it. That's as good a value as you can find. So what Snit said there makes sense, but I still think Kelnick's going to get the bulk of the ABs because typically you're going to see righties in, 110, 115 games. Doesn't mean Adam won't get some of those, but I still think unless Kelnick just falls apart, he's going to get the bulk of the work. All right, let's get to the Shohei Ohtani business. Now, we'll get a legal opinion on this tomorrow with Bruce Hagan, and there's so many layers that we can get a legal opinion on. But Shohei made a statement yesterday. He spoke for 12 minutes through his interpreter and his translator. He said he would fully cooperate with any federal investigation and Major League Baseball investigation, but he made it very clear. He's never bet on baseball or any other sport. He's never asked anyone to do so on his behalf. That's the proxy that I told you I would be for somebody if they were smart. And he claims his close friend, the former translator, interpreter, lied to him for years, stole millions from him, and that's sort of the crux of what Shohei gave you.
Yeah, just shocked, couldn't believe that someone stole or lied. Well, no, he lives in the adult world, and he's been around millions of dollars for at least the last 12 years. So him saying, I just can't believe I was lied to and stolen from. Maybe, and maybe it's just this person, et cetera. I don't know how deep the involvement goes, but...
So here's a couple of things, and this isn't the legal part of this. I'm going to guess from here on out, Shohei will take much more of a close view at his finances. Because I'm going to guess, unlike you and me who have our bank app on our phone, he doesn't. I'm going to guess he doesn't know to the dollar what, or even close to the dollar what he has in the bank or accounts or holdings or any of that stuff. That now he will, because the reported number was $4.5 million was taken out of his account in several large withdrawals throughout whatever amount of time, if the story is true that the interpreter stole from him. And the theory from this story is we're supposed to believe Shohei had no idea, which means he's not paying any attention to his finances.
Yeah, there was a $31 attempted charge at a Panera in
Maryland, and I
found it. I was like,
not a found it. They send it to you.
Oh, I got text message. Go online. Is this, you click right here and it takes you, is this your charge? And I was like, no, probably not $31 in Maryland for Panera. So you're right. If it's several, like think how many transfers, even large transfers, equal $4.5 million.
So I think the word, maybe I'm just making this number up. I heard we were talking in the neighborhood of $500,000 several times. I mean, Shohei, I'm not blaming Shohei if he's innocent, but I'm blaming him for being negligent when it comes to not paying enough attention to his finances.
Because if you're trying to get away with it, like if you owe $4.5 million, you do that once and hope that like you make as few transactions as possible. I'm wondering if it was a slow bleed over time and he had to keep like getting current with the bookie.
I don't know. I did like what Andrew Brandt, who is a lawyer and the former president of the Packers, tweeted. He said, Otani blames it all on his former best friend and interpreter, throws him under the bus, drives back over him. Now we'll hide behind lawyers. So the story is, Ipe illegally bet millions from Otani's account with a bookie under investigation. Otani had zero knowledge. Then Brandt tweets, either Otani is not telling the truth or he has the worst best friend, interpreter, accountant, manager, agent, and bank in history. There are a lot of layers to it. There is no question. So we'll get a legal opinion on it tomorrow and find out what the next steps to this are for both Shohei and for baseball and all the investigations. Kirby Smart, who is going to be on tomorrow with Domino and Cellini, he'll be with Nick and Chris at noon. Cellini and Domino show live in Athens tomorrow. Kirby Smart on at noon. The Locker Room, 6 to 10 from Athens. The Buck Belue Show, 10 to 11, all from Athens, with the athletic director, Josh Brooks, joining the Locker Room at 8 a.m., Wes Johnson with Buck at 10 a.m., Kirby Smart with Cellini and Domino at noon, and then Mike White with Nick and Chris at 1 p.m. So the statement from Kirby Smart about new running back Trevor Etienne, the transfer from Florida, is that he will be disciplined per university policy, internal team discipline. Kirby appeared, according to Seth Emerson, to start saying the word suspended. He said, and then he stopped himself. He did say he was disappointed in the decision-making, but he's a good kid.
If you have to miss a game, does it have to be the first game?
Can you skip the Clemson game and really show him who's boss in week two? Who do they play in week two? Trevor, you don't do that again after the Clemson game. No, I don't know. I don't. It's not anything Kirby's going to want to deal with. He'll address it tomorrow with Cellini and Domino when he's on with those gentlemen at noon. So make sure you're here on the Fan and with the Fan app. One of the crazier comebacks you'll ever witness happened last night. The Hawks built themselves a nice 30-point deficit against the Celtics. And remember, the Hawks still have no Trae Young, who's starting to do finger exercises, but he's not back. They had no Onyeka Okongwu. At one point on the court, I looked up, and there was Garrison Matthews and Vit Creche and Bruno Fernando and Wesley Matthews.
Last night.
He had an 8-0 run himself, the great Vit Creche. But that was the crew who was on the floor who made up a 30-point deficit. The Celtics should be ashamed of themselves. Hawks were down 68-38 with 4:20 left in the second quarter. They finished the first half on a gigantic run, had another one in the third quarter. They outscored the Celtics 82-50 from the point they were down 68-38. DeAndre Hunter had a big night, including a dagger three, which it's one of those, if you're Quinn Snyder and he's mic'd up, So the Hawks are up by a point.
Yeah, had the lead and the ball, and they're going to foul him.
And Capella gets a rebound. And all you're thinking is, all right, let's kick it out and have them run around and foul the Hawks, go to the line. Instead, DeAndre, with no hesitation, drains a three. And that's one where Quinn's yelling, no, no. Good shot. Good shot. Celtics hit a bucket at the end of the game, and it was 120-18. The Hawks found a way to win that one. So they are in a position, Charles, Mr. Snarky, to get out of the 10 spot and maybe host a play-in game, a little extra revenue for Tony Ressler. He deserves it at State Farm.
No, he doesn't.
In the play-in, well, I mean, Tony's struggling for money, so he needs a few extra coins. The Hawks are right now one game in the loss column behind the Bulls. And the Hawks will host crummy Portland coming up tomorrow night. Then Boston is back here Thursday. They won't be upset, I'm sure. And then Milwaukee's in town Saturday.
Oh, maybe he will have a chance to offset some of the luxury tax that he's paying.
Yeah, no, he's not doing that. No,
oh.
No. But just maybe a little extra coin in his pocket, which could be a very big deal. All right, a couple of things for the Falcons. League meetings going on, which means all the rich owners, all the head coaches, GMs, everybody's in one place. And Arthur Blank, for the first time, went on record to talk about the Falcons' potential tampering with Kirk Cousins. Quote from Mr. Blank, "The tampering deal? We obviously don't believe we tampered," unquote. He then said, "We shared all the info with the league. They'll review the process and the facts. They're in the middle of doing that. Whatever the result is, we will deal with it." Not really shocked that he said that. I wasn't expecting him to say, "Yes, we tampered." Just like I don't think the Falcons years ago would have said, "Yes, we pumped in crowd noise to the Georgia Dome."
If they would have waited, just been a little bit, like a tiny amount patient, then perhaps maybe if Kirk would have like waited a day to talk or understood his timeline, or someone would have pulled him aside and said, "By the way, when we looked at your medical records on the flash drive, yeah, don't tell anybody about that."
I'm going to guess they did. I think Kirk just being
excited
in an honest moment. He just, like, a lot of us have done that.
I met everybody yesterday, the medical staff, and I showed them all my records. And
you like that?
Ends that last part.
If I'm the Falcons, I'm fining Cousins. You're costing us money with this fine. You're paying for it, Mr. Big Mouth. We had one rule around here. We all had the same line. We all had the same lie, and you're not helping.
Could you imagine if he would have said, "It was so great meeting everybody and the medical staff," and somebody, all of us, "Kirk's not available, everybody. No more questions. Kirk's not available."
That wouldn't have looked even more guilty. They cut him off in mid-sentence. So, Cousins, this is on you. You picked the number 18. It's a bad choice. You might cost us some cash and a draft choice. This is on Kirk. You got to pay his own way on this one. Welcome to town. Now, speaking of Kirk, Mike Florio at Pro Football Talk, who you will remember had a very good feel for this whole story, indicated that the Vikings bringing back Kirk Cousins was never really plan A. Plan A was to move on and draft potentially a rookie quarterback. Mark Wilf, the owner, Ziggy's son, sort of echoed the same thing. He said the Vikings did not fully guarantee the first 2 years of Kirk's contract in the offer to Kirk, which would have made it a one-year deal with a team-held option in 2025. So the Falcons, as I said at the time, I said, please don't bid against yourself. And I don't know what, if their number was out of whack compared to Minnesota, but it felt like since before Kirk got hurt in the last offseason, the Vikings were not about to give him another guaranteed deal. It sounded like they were starting to move away from Kirk. They would have taken him back on a 1 year with a team option for year two, but Minnesota sounded like they were ready to go another direction.
Yeah, but the Falcons had one thing about their situation that nobody else did, an 80-year-old impatient owner whose front office hadn't really attempted to acquire a quarterback in 3 years.
Get ready for Chuckin' Chernoff's Worst Idea.
We've been taking your worst idea answers at the Harrah's Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed. Since it is Braves opening week, we wanted to have some fun by asking you the Braves player who's not remembered most for wearing that jersey number. In other words, Ronald Acuna wears 13 right now. Would you have remembered that Jose Costanza, little Georgie,
No. He
wore 13? That's a thing that happened. That's a true story. Or number 5, which was worn by Freddie Freeman, Clint Sammons wore it before Freddie. Todd Pratt, as Fat Casey points out, wore the number 5 in between Ron Gant and a few others before Freddie Freeman.
Bob Horner. 10, of course, Chipper, we had mentioned yesterday, Greg Olson was an all-star catcher in 1 year. He was actually on the famous picture he and Smoltz were hugging when they clinched the first division.
It's funny, the picture I always remember is him upside down when Dan Gladden runs him over.
Okay, there's that too. Yeah. But he wore 10. Before that, Chris Chambliss wore 10.
Go back to number 5, Robert Fick wore number 5 for the Braves as well.
One season, yeah.
Now, this is post-Andrew Jones, but we always had fun with the amount of guys that wore 25 before they put the number up. Juan Francisco, Troy Gloss, Tyler Flowers, Cameron Maben. Wasn't there a Barbaro
Cannizzaro?
Yeah. Eddie said, before John Smoltz immortalized 29, catcher Vic Correll wore the number 1974 for the Braves. Nate McLouth wore the number 13, being worn now by Ronald Cunha.
He was an all-star.
Anyone who wore the 24, not named primetime. Yeah, Dion did look good in the 24. You know who else wore that? I think Brett Boone wore the 24 for the Braves. Adam Duvall is back in the 14. He was in the 23. Now he's back in the 14.
Brett Butler, 22.
He was with the Giants and the Dodgers. I think he might have been here, too. Uh-huh. That sounds right. Before Javi Lopez wore the 8 jersey, Kyle points out that Mike Heath also wore the number 8. That's pretty funny. You guys can send your answers, the Braves jersey number that does not remember for that guy, to the Harris Cherokee Casino's Twitter feed.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
This is a 680 The Fan podcast. To hear more live and local sports content like this, tune into 680 AM or 93.7 FM or download the Fan app.
There are so many reasons to love Subaru of Gwinnett. And this April, Subaru of Gwinnett is working hand-in-hand with the community because Subaru loves the earth. From being the largest corporate donor to the National Parks Foundation to planting over 1 million trees, we wrap our arms around the community. It's part of the Subaru Love Promise, our commitment to improving lives in the communities where we live and work. And it's just one reason why Subaru is more than a car company. Visit Subaru of Gwinnett on Satellite Boulevard in Duluth to learn more about how we're taking action. The winningest team in baseball also has the most saves, and people who save the most money are winners. So start earning saves by investing in Worthy bonds for only $10 each. These bonds earn a fixed 7% APY, and there's no fees, penalties, or minimum balance required, and they can be redeemed whenever you like. You can even round up everyday purchases to buy additional bonds. Go to worthybonds.com/save. That's worthybonds.com/save, and save and win.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.